Well, I don't know if you've brought all your Christmas presents yet this Christmas. When it comes to Christmas shopping, there are two types of people. There are those who began in July and were all done and dusted by October. And if that's you, you're feeling pretty smug right now. But then there are the other type of Christmas shopper who leaves it to the last moment. And if that's you, you also are feeling pretty smug right now. Because let's face it, there's still loads of time to get the presents that you need before Christmas. Well, whether you're a late shopper or an early shopper, gift giving at Christmas time is important. It is an expression of our love for our friends and our families. It's also originally a reflection of what it is we're celebrating at Christmas, God's gift of his own son into the world. But there's a verse from the Bible, one that actually hasn't been read out for us this evening, that describes the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, not so much as God the Father's gift of his son to us, but the son's own gift of himself to us. It's up on the screens now. It says this: "For you know the gift, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word grace that's used there, it used to be used for the word for the prayer that people used to say before they ate a meal together. It's increasingly being used as a very popular, beautiful name for a girl. It literally means gift. Gift. The gift that we celebrate at Christmas by giving gifts is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of himself to us. And that's what I want us to explore just for a few moments together. First of all, this verse in the Bible is telling us that Jesus Christ was rich. Jesus Christ was rich. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," which is good news on the face of it. If Jesus Christ is the gift giver, it is good news to hear that he is rich. Even as a child growing up, each Christmas, I instinctively knew to open my presents in the order of how wealthy I thought the giver was. I don't know whether that was just me, whether anyone else here would admit to doing that. Jesus Christ was rich. And yet that doesn't seem to fit, does it, with the traditional Christmas story, which is one of poverty. Mary and Joseph finding no room in the inn in Bethlehem, the baby being born in a stable, being laid in a manger, an animal feeding trough. Our first carol we began with this evening: "Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed." It wasn't even a very grand cattle shed, it was a lowly one. How does that fit with Jesus Christ being rich? Well, here's the backstory that many people miss at Christmas, that maybe even more people are totally unaware of. That before he was born, that first Christmas, a real human baby in a real place on earth, in a real point in our history, that person had already existed, had always existed as God's son. If you turn back in the order of service, if you're fortunate enough to have one, to the fifth reading that was read just a few moments ago, the opening chapter of John's gospel. And you can see that existence being described for us. You can see the riches that person possessed. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word. That's his name for Jesus Christ before he was born. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Do you see there being described for us the riches that Jesus Christ had before he was born? In the beginning, he existed. He's always been with God. He's always been God. He made everything that there is and therefore owns everything that there is. He's the source of all life, your life, my life. Jesus Christ was rich. He had all of that, was all of that. And yet he gave up all of that to be born as a baby into poverty. That's the second thing to notice about this gift, the gift of Jesus Christ himself at Christmas. He became poor. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Which you might be forgiven when you hear that, but that doesn't begin to sound like good news. When you discover now that the giver of the gift has now become poor, that has got some negative implications for the kind of gift that he's able to give. But if Jesus wanted simply to share the riches that he had with us, which is how this verse ends, if you look, so that you, through his riches, might become rich. If he wants us to become rich as he was, why didn't he just give us his riches, just share them with us directly? Here's a picture of Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla, and their newborn baby daughter, Max, born earlier this month. They announced, you may have noticed it, early in December, that to mark the birth of their first child, they're going to give away 99% of their entire fortune. 99% of $45 billion. Now, by my calculations, that still leaves them with $450 million. So why couldn't Jesus Christ have done something similar with his riches without having to become poor himself, without having to endure, as the God of all eternity, the indignity of being born as a helpless human? Simply, generously sharing what he had with us. The answer to that question, the reason why Jesus had to become poor, to be able to share his riches with us, is because people like us can't handle the sort of wealth that he has to offer us. The sort of spiritual riches that Jesus Christ wants to share with us are riches that as humans we are peculiarly ill-suited to receiving or being able to handle. Here's another person who was rich, less well-known than Mark Zuckerberg, Callie Rogers. In 2003, Callie won £1.9 million on the UK National Lottery. Okay, it's not $45 billion, but £1.9 million is a lot of money to receive all in one go. Today, 12 years on, Callie is worth £2,000. Now, of course, if you or I were to win the lottery, we'd be much more sensible with the money than Callie was. But the truth is, sudden, extreme material wealth is hard to handle. And actually, spiritual wealth is no different. If anything, it's even harder to handle. You see, we are so different from the God who made us. so far from his perfection, his purity, his infinite power and intense love, that if he were just to share them with us, give them to us as we are, not only would we spoil them, those spiritual riches, fritter them away and not really realize the value of what we've been given, but that gift in all its perfection would overwhelm and ruin us. As mere creatures, imperfect and flawed as we are, the sort of divine spiritual riches that Jesus Christ wants to give us would be our undoing if he were to give them to us directly. And so he takes this dramatic, this extraordinary step into our poverty, the poverty of our flawed and broken human existence. He became poor, a helpless human baby, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, because that was the only way he could safely share with us his spiritual riches, by coming down to our level, by becoming one of us. Normally, the birth of a baby is something to celebrate. It's good news. And of course, that is part of what Christmas is all about, the good news celebration of a birth. But when you realize what he had before he was born, and when you realize why it was he had to give that up to be able to share those riches with us safely, when you discover the backstory of this birth, then as well as being a source of great joy that he was willing to do something like that for us, it is also something of an indictment that he had to do that for us. He became poor, but it was always with an end in mind. And that's the last part of that verse for us to consider. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. We, through his poverty, might become rich. The first step that he made into poverty was from heaven to earth in his birth. But there was a second, a greater, an even deeper step into poverty that he made once on earth. And that was to his cross in his death. You see, for as long as we stay at the manger in Bethlehem, we will never understand the poverty of Jesus Christ or its purpose for our lives. To do that, we have to follow him to the cross on a hill outside Jerusalem. The death of Jesus Christ, approximately 33 years after his birth, was not a tragic mistake, not a piece of political miscalculation on his part, nor was it simply, as it's often portrayed, a wonderful example of selfless love. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross was how, through his poverty, he is able to make us rich, give us his spiritual riches safely. On the cross, a transaction took place, an exchange, if you like, a swap. He took onto himself all of our spiritual poverty, our imperfections and flaws, everything that makes us so different, so separate, so distant from God. And as one of us, he was able to take all of that from us and in return give us all of his riches in a way that we can handle, in a way that we can receive and enjoy safely forever. Let me close with a story just to help us grasp how we can receive this sort of spiritual riches for ourselves. It's a story written by a man called Mark Twain. Prince and the Pauper, set in the time of Henry VIII. Tom Canty is a poor London lad who happens one day to bump into the then Prince of Wales, Prince Edward. They realise that they have an uncanny resemblance, and they even share the same birthday. And so for fun, being lads, they decide to swap clothes and swap roles for the afternoon. Well, things get out of hand pretty quickly, and the real prince, dressed as a pauper, is thrown out of the palace as soon as the guards discover him, whilst Tom Canty, now dressed as the prince, is ushered into the court. The real prince, as he roams about London, discovers how hard and unjust life is in Tudor London, whilst Tom discovers how tricky it is to be a convincing prince at court. Things come to a head when King Henry dies, and Tom is about to be crowned Edward VI. Well, just in time, the real prince bursts in on the coronation and manages to persuade everyone present that he is the true heir of the throne. And at that point, Tom is more than happy not to be crowned King of England. The prince and the pauper, they swap back, and it all ends happily ever after. To be honest, it's a lousy story to share with at the end, because the swap that took place in Mark Twain's tale was a mistake, a prank that got out of hand. The prince in the story gets back his crown and all his riches, and the pauper, well, he loses everything that he so fleetingly had. But the swap that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, made on the cross was not a mistake, and nor was it fleeting. The riches that he offers, the poverty that he takes from us through it, are both permanent and precisely what he intended. When he left heaven to become poor, he knew exactly what he was doing and why and for whom. Stepping into our poverty to be able to offer us safely his riches forever. I wonder, have you ever realized that? That was why he was born as a baby in the manger. That was what he was doing when he died on the cross, taking from us our poverty to be able to offer us his riches. And now you do know that. Do you believe it? Will you accept that from him? For now you know the grace, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Is that the sort of riches you're interested in? Is that a gift that you would like to receive?